Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered today from compulsive overeating in Wyoming. Today is Thursday, September 1st. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 25, and we're reading the second paragraph. And we're reading that one paragraph only. And today's readers are Jody E., Adrienne M., and Freya H. The reference number for Wednesday, August 31st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 19,353. And the share ID for Thursday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, was 19,355. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Deb E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Deb E. in Montana, and these are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I will pass.
Thank you, Deb E., and I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for your service. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and have a great Labor Day weekend, and have a great meeting.
Thank you so much, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 25, reading the second paragraph, and I will now ask Jody E. to begin reading for us.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully and happily recovered in Monterey, California. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experience, asterisk, fully explained in Appendix 2, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. Ah, beautiful paragraph. I'm very grateful to be able to read this and share on it for a few minutes this morning. So yes, there truly is a solution, and it is a spiritual one. Some of us do have sudden spiritual experiences. Some of us do not, as explained in the Appendix 2. Some of us have the educational variety of spiritual awakening. Whether it's the educational or the sudden variety doesn't matter. What matters is that when we work these 12 steps, things change. And we become certain that there is something greater than ourselves that is changing us. Ah, it's such a blessing. First of all, it begins with the food. We begin to be able to abstain happily from those foods that we were not able to abstain from for so very long. or that we relapsed on time and again. As long as we stay in the steps, spiritually fit to the best of our ability, we can abstain from our compulsive eating one day at a time, and that is miraculous. But there's more than that. We begin to notice the promises coming true in our lives. Perhaps slowly at first. Perhaps we don't even see the change as well as our friends and family see it in working in us. But it does happen. One of the promises that has been the slowest to come true for me is my fear of people. I still have some fear of people. And sometimes that makes me wonder, you know, what am I missing? What did I leave something out? Am I trying to build mortar without sand? And I can go back and I can comb through my fourth step, my ninth step. Have I left something out? But I can also, and I do go back at times. I do that in my daily 10th steps. But I also see the progress, and I cannot deny that I am a different person today and that the promises, for the most part, are coming true. And if that one is lagging behind, well, I get to practice my sixth and seventh steps on it and keep trying, keep showing up with people and looking them in the eye. And noticing when I feel afraid to do that. What am I afraid of? So that's something I can work my 10th step on, which I do. And that's enough from me. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing your shares.
Thank you very much, Jody, for getting us started. And before I take a lineup, I would like to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day on any vision call in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, we ask that you give us your name so we can hear from you.
I'm Monica K., California.
Yes, Monica.
Felicia.
Wendy B.
I got Monica, Felicia, and then I got somebody with the last initial B.
Wendy B.
That's it. Hi, Wendy. And then I have Jen, and then I have Dawn. Is there anyone else?
This is Nancy B. from Arkansas.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Janice K.
And Janice K.
This is Jackie from India.
And Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Okay, so I have Monica, Felicia, Wendy B., Jan K., Dawn B., Nancy B., Janice K., Jackie. I think I heard everybody correctly, so why don't we go ahead and start with Monica.
Hi, my name is Monica from California. Oh, my goodness. I am on step one. So reading this, I just read that it's deep and effective. And my whole attitude toward life is going to change. And there is a creator. And he's going to accomplish things that I cannot accomplish on my own. And I don't have that experience in this moment. I have a lot of fears. I don't know, but I want to cry, but I'm so hopeful that by working the steps and repeating, there is hope, and there is hope, and it's not, and I don't have to understand, I don't have to know. As a matter of fact, I read a lot of spiritual books and religious books, and I have been in the program for a long time, and on my own I am very lost. So I'm grateful that there's so many of you that have done those steps and are showing me that I don't have to live the way I have been living with in misery. Misery with the food and misery without the food at this point. So I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Monica. Okay, next up is Felicia, followed by Wendy B. Go ahead, Felicia.
Good morning, all. Felicia S. in New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you to all who do service at this meeting. And all the shares so far. I am back. I've been chronically relapsing for a really long time, and this promise is just so, hits me really hard this morning. You know, it's a beautiful promise. The great fact is justice and nothing less. And as it states in the big book, for me, I've been of the educational variety, but this paragraph gives me such hope. You know, my creator has entered my heart and my life, and I don't ever have to feel the way I felt, you know, just about 2 months ago now. And I'm looking for a new sponsor, and I'm just incredibly, incredibly grateful that this call exists and that this program exists. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Felicia. Wendy B's up, and then Jen.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And I love this paragraph. The central fact of my life today is the certainty that my creator is inside of me, you know, walking out this day moment by moment with me. And, you know, he's causing my heart to beat and my lungs to breathe, and he's holding me together. You know, his spirit is guiding me throughout the day. You know, he's guiding my thoughts and my opening my understanding to see his hand at work, you know, all around me. And he enables me to have love and compassion for those he places in my life. You know, he enables me to face challenges with peace and serenity and trusting his will is being accomplished. And he's teaching me things through the challenges. And he enables me to see his creation as beautiful and something to be respected and not for my own gain, you know, selfishly. And, you know, have more of a curiosity about, you know, natural processes, you know, how they happen, you know, like how animals relate to each other and how they get their needs met and how plants thrive and just all the mysteries, you know, working in nature, you know, and our human bodies. And, you know, I have more respect for my body, you know, my physical needs, instead of always just trying to force my body to perform. You know, I recognize my need for healthy food to give me energy and my need for rest. And, you know, I just have a sense of responsibility and stewardship that I never had before. You know, like, you know, doing annual physicals and eye and teeth checkups and, you know, addressing issues like, you know, my back pain and injuries when they arise, you know, instead of ignoring it, you know, and hoping it will just go away like I used to. And, you know, and recognizing, you know, what things God has made me responsible for and what he hasn't, you know, learning about boundaries and that other people's bodies are not mine to manage. And, you know, I just recognize, you know, God has revolutionized my whole attitude toward life, toward my fellows, and toward his universe. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy. Next up is Jen, followed by Dawn. Go ahead, Jen. Jen K. Star 1 to unmute. I think I
might
got that
have
name, right?
been Janice K.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, this paragraph shows something that, to my mind, happens over and over in this book. We just spent pages dealing with the depth and the grief of the unrecovered, and all of a sudden, pow, here we are up at the, almost at the top of, you know, at the top of steps 10, 11, and 12, when we're really working our game. And I've seen this from time to time, because every once in a while, someone I'm working with will have a deep and effective spiritual experience that revolutionizes their entire attitude toward life, themselves, and their fellows, and the universe. And it doesn't always stick at that point, but just having it, just visiting that mountaintop once lets you know that it's there, it's real, and it's something you can work toward. I look at this and I think, Houston, we have ignition. Because all of a sudden they, quote, unquote, get it. And they and I see very clearly who they will and can be. And I think that one of the essentials, the essential thing is, this is nothing I arrange. I understand Dr. Jung completely. Yeah, I try to arrange this thing with people. It doesn't work. It happens. God does it. I don't. I lead them through the steps. God does the work. And that's the way it is. Sometimes we can acknowledge that. Sometimes God comes in through the back stair and does the work before we realize it. We ask for what we want. We take action, and God fills in the gap between what we can do and what we can't, provided, of course, that what we ask for is His will in the first place. So if someone gets a couple of days of abstinence strung together and they call up and they say, I don't know how I've done it, I know. Maybe God has come up through the back stairs because He knows how much we need it. It's remarkable that He's willing to work with what we bring. Maybe He comes up the step, the ladder up the outside of the house and crawls in the window. Who knows? That's enough out of me. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Oh, thanks so much. Perfect timing. Janice, could you tell us where you're from? I didn't get that.
I am from Oregon.
Thank you very much. And people can find you on the phone list. Okay. Dawn B. is up next, followed by Nancy B. Go ahead, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And yes, I love this paragraph. This is the great fact is truly just this and nothing less. We have had deep and effective spiritual experience which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. I came into this program, I didn't realize it, but I was acting as if life was, you know, the solar system with the sun in the middle and the planets revolving around the sun. Well, I came in, my way of operating in life was that I was in the center and everything was supposed to revolve around me. And then I realized through program working the steps is that, no, sweetheart, your higher power is in the center and everything is to revolve around your higher power. And so it's no longer me getting rightfully ticked off that people aren't doing the things that I need them to do. It's now about my higher power's will and how my higher power wants things to go. And so it's a revolutionized way of being. So now, rather than trying to force my will, what I'm doing, what I'm practicing on a daily, moment-by-moment basis is surrendering and just asking for my higher power's will. My husband is ill, And about 3 months ago, it was kind of touch and go. And so I was putting this to the most, you know, really where the rubber hits the road in my life, and just saying, God, I surrender. Whatever your will is, that's the only thing I want. So if it's to have him to have one more day or however many, God, your will only be done. Your will only. Your will is my only goal. And whatever is to come, God, if it's your will, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will only be done, God. Your will only be done. And that's what I spend my time doing now. And it's a beautiful way to live. I relax, I lean back, and I rely completely on my higher power, and I surrender, and God's will is my only goal. And it's a beautiful way of being. And thank you so much. And there's no way that I could be abstinent now 10 years when before it took me 35 years of failure in the program, in the rooms, not being able to string together 3 days here, 7 days there of abstinence. I couldn't get it any longer than that. And now it's been 10 years. This is a miracle of God. And I am so grateful. God doing for me what in no way I could ever do for myself. And this miracle is waiting for you. Clearly identify your alcoholic foods and put them down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver, and work it like your life depends on it, because it absolutely does. You deserve a life beyond your wildest dreams. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dawn B. Next up is Nancy B, followed by Jackie. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi. I arrived late to the meeting, and I missed the reading, so I'm going to pass and just listen.
Okay. Thanks so much, Nancy. We hope you share another day. All right. Next up is Jackie, and then I'll take another lineup. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi, I'm Jackie C. from Indiana. I am not even sure if I'm supposed to be talking. I kind of thought we were doing roll call. So I am a recovering alcoholic of 30 years, and this is my very first OA meeting. So thank you for listening.
Oh, we're glad you're here, and please stay until the end, and we'll be taking information for newcomers, and we'd love to outreach you. Thank you so much. And so if you've just joined us, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 25. The second paragraph is what we're unpacking today. And before I take a lineup of names who would like to share on the paragraph that we just read today, I would like to remind you that if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision for You meetings, we ask that you hold back today and let others share. Please give me your name.
Lauren Grace B.
Lorraine N.
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi, P.
I have a Kindle, and if you could tell me the words that you are the first words of the paragraph, I can find it.
The great fact for us is just that. The great fact for us. Okay, so here is the lineup I have so far. Lauren Grace, Lorraine N, Freya H, Deborah G. There was somebody in between Deborah and Haya P.
Lois P.
I think. What was that?
Lois P.
Lois P. Thank you so much. All right, let's start with this lineup. Go ahead, Lauren Grace.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. It's great to be here today. Thanks, everyone, for your service and your shares. This is just an amazing paragraph, and it just hits me right where I am today. The central fact of our lives is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do for ourselves. And the thing that God is really hitting home to me today is that I'm perfect and complete just the way he made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and part of that includes being a compulsive overeater. It's exactly how he wants me to be. The things I struggle with are exactly the things that he wants me to be struggling with. I read a devotional this morning about highly sensitive people, and I certainly am one, and he made me that way. It's nothing I need to be ashamed of. It's just so amazing. As someone else shared, when I first came into the program, actually until very recently, really, the last few years, and I've been in for over 30, I understood that God could keep me from eating, that I was powerless over food, that my life was unmanageable, and that God could keep me from eating. And I've had physical abstinence, and I've been a normal body size for many, many years. But I didn't understand the ideas in the steps. I thought the steps were basically tools, along with phone calls and weighing and measuring and any other of the OA tools. I didn't realize that they were of the essence of the program. And I was a person who had a relationship with God, but I had no idea what it meant to turn my will and my life over to his care. So these are the things that God is accomplishing for me now, and it is truly miraculous what he is doing for me in revealing my character defects, revealing when I'm wrong, and giving me the strength and the desire to overcome these character defects by his grace and to walk in his ways and to want his will. And when I don't want his will, it's an opportunity for me to do a 10th step and say, what's out of whack here, and get it fixed by his grace. So that's all I'd like to share today. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Lauren Grace. And next up is Lorraine, followed by Freya. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. And what a blessed meeting. This paragraph for me, it was a result of working the 12 steps. And it was not an instant or sudden awakening like Bill had. Mine is still happening, my spiritual awakening. And I'm grateful for that. And I rejoice in the awarenesses that my higher power is allowing me to see or helping me see now. And yes, the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my Creator has entered into my heart and life in a way that is indeed miraculous. And how do I know that? By the results in my life. My life is more peaceful today than it's ever been. My bills are paid. I have God in my life every day. This program has just changed my, revolutionized my whole attitude and outlook on life and my fellows. And believe me, I do not work this perfectly. I'm constantly working on my character flaws and defects of character. And recently, I was very excited about going back to what I thought was a face-to-face OA meeting here in my town. And when I arrived, they were studying outside literature, and I tried to go for another week, and then I just couldn't. So after I went through the whole gamut of emotions, I finally prayed. And I just asked God, to calm me down, number one, because I was so disappointed and sad that that was not they weren't studying 12-step literature. But anyway, after I prayed, the thought came to me, start your own big book study if that's what you want to do or need to do. And so I made one phone call and got a location for an extremely reasonable price. And we now have a big book study for the last 3 weeks. And I'm so grateful for that. I just would have never even thought to do that in the past. I would have just been, pissed off and ranted about, there not being an official OA meeting in my town. But anyway, there is now. And I am just so grateful for this program. And it helps keep me right-sized, and I guess I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lorraine. Perfect timing. And Freya H. is up next, followed by Deborah G. Go ahead, Freya.
Thank you. Freya H., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. Thanks, everybody. This is so powerful to get to share on each paragraph. And this is a very significant paragraph for me because I used to read it and just kind of squirm, just like, ugh, I don't think I've had that. And today I read it in the first person, you know, that I have had a deep and effective spiritual experience, which has revolutionized my whole attitude toward life, toward my fellows, and toward God's universe. And to put it, you know, more simply, I see the world differently. You know, like I have a different perspective, a different viewpoint, and that's how I sum up the idea of spiritual experience, is that it's like God's taken the blinders off, and I used to just see one way, one path, you know, one way to do things, and now I see this infinite variety of opportunities, possibilities, and God's constantly assuring me that I'm being taken care of, you know, like this is a win-win situation, this whole life thing. That doesn't mean it's easy. And where it says that he has commenced to accomplish those things for me, which I could never do for myself, that doesn't mean that I've gotten the external things that I have been chasing for so long. Not at all. In fact, what I get is what I need. I get what I need, which includes challenges, which are opportunities for spiritual growth, which result in true happiness, true peace, you know, true connection with others and with my Creator. I get things I never would have asked for. I never would have thought to be great. And but when the challenges come up and I feel the pain, have this internal reassurance, which is, I know this is God. I know this is God. Even when it's really dark, I know this is God. That is huge. Where it says, Creator has entered into our hearts, and in that next word, is it lives or is it lives? And I think it's both, but I love to read that the verb, it's active, it's present. So God has entered into my heart and lives in a way which is miraculous, which is a beautiful promise. And the last thing I'll say is this paragraph starts with the great fact, just this. And if you go to page 164, it ends that paragraph that we read every day. It says, this is the great fact for us, and great fact capitalized. And so that's the that I am kind of divine presence, and that's totally true. This is the great fact. And that's my time. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Thanks, Freya. And next up is Deborah, followed by Lois. Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Thank you for your service, moderator, and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares. I was just thinking to myself, I'm going to listen to the recording because they were beautiful, beautiful shares. Thank you all. And wow, what a beautiful gift that I am open and awake to hearing your words, where before this program, I was so caught up in my selfish self-centeredness. When I'm in the food, selfish self-centeredness, caught up in all that. And what had happened to me because of going through those beautiful 12 steps and living the steps as a way of life, this is what happens to me in that paragraph where I'm awakened to seeing that. You know, I never knew that beautiful, divine, loving presence, power, which power was what I needed, because I didn't have power, was deep within me, deep within you. And now it keeps evolving, where I see it's like someone mentioned, in nature, in the trees, in animals, you know, the one that's suffering, you know, that I can see that and have compassion and love and be helpful. Be helpful like that divine loving presence wants me to be. Use me, use me. What do you have for me today? How can I help? And then just watch as my day unfolds, what is brought to me? What is brought to me in my life for that day of what that power, loving power, wants me to do? I never saw that. Wow, I never was able to see that. And I think in being in this place, connected, because I was so disconnected, and being open to seeing how my life has changed, if I look over my shoulder, how I was before, to how I am now, and want to continue living like this. And the beauty of it is I have that neutrality with food because of being this, embodying this, saturating myself in this, you know, and doing the practices that was mentioned. You know, whatever gets me out of alignment, whatever gets me disconnected, separating when I, because I do that, I separate. And that loving presence, if I need to do a 10-step or whatever it is, the only thing that separates me is my thinking and my believing. And when I get right-sized with that again, I come running back into those divine loving arms, so that I can be. Thank you so much, and have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thanks, Deborah G. And next up is Lois P., followed by Haya P. Go ahead, Lois.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. So, to me, these last two paragraphs, especially this one, are, to me, a love letter from God, from the universe, welcoming me home. And I mean that with a full heart, because these deep and effective spiritual experiences that come as a result of changing our attitudes and the way we look at life, the way we look at ourselves, the way we perceive what's going on around us, those changes bring about the deep, effective spiritual experience. So it's not really complicated. I have found that it's just these states, the state of union, of feeling completely at peace and at one with our circumstances, means to me that I'm at one with the divine, with that great creator that is, as other people have so beautifully expressed, is behind and imminently present in all. So it's not reserved just for saints or special people. This is a gift to us from the universe that we are born into and are lived through by this divinity. So for me, going through the steps, you know, I start off as a baby, basically holding on to food. You know, that's my bottle. So I'm very spiritually and emotionally and physically immature on step one. And as I start to move through the steps and I relax into knowing there's something bigger than myself that is holding me and that is drawing me closer, as I relax into the steps and take the steps, all the things that have been in my head and in my heart that have held me against life, that have made me feel separate from, all of that starts to dissolve in the steps. And there's a breath and a freedom that starts to come that opened my heart in a much greater way than ever before. So I found myself going from, you know, emotional and spiritual infancy into a more mature, healthy, divinely centered human being. And it can happen very simply. And the shift occurs very simply. It's not always a big dramatic happening, as other people have said. It can be in a simple shifting of the way we see the world. Seeing the best in someone, for me, is like a shift. Choosing to have trust and faith over my feeling like a victim or self-pitying myself or fear and doubt, rather than falling into those feelings, to shift into just trusting and having faith. You know, smiling and looking into someone's eyes when I'm at the register or I'm just walking on the street, looking into someone's eyes is a tremendous happening then. Thank you, if that's my time. And yeah. All I want to end with is saying that we are divinely centered beings. God has given us life, and all of this program is about bringing us home to this sacred way of living where we become an offering to a suffering world. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lois P. from New York. And next up, and I think this will definitely be our last share today, is Haya P. Go ahead, Haya.
Hi, everybody. This is Haya P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I live in Colorado. And I want to thank everybody for sharing. Thank you for leading. And I really want to speak to the newcomer or the person who's coming back or anyone who's struggling with this whole idea that a power greater than ourselves can come into our life somehow. Because when I first came to OA 30-something years ago, I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God. It just freaked me out. It wasn't something that was really part of my vernacular, and it seemed like it just seemed really out of my reach and a little weird. But the beautiful thing is step two is about coming to believe that a power greater than myself, just coming to believe. That's the beginning. That's the start. And as the person before me shared, you know, but as we relax into the steps, relax as in working vigorously through them, but knowing that there is that the people around me have said, there is something here. There is something here. Just trust us. That, you know, that grew and it grew and it grew. And I would submit that even Bill Wilson had a spiritual experience of the educational variety, because even that burning bush, you know, roll out of bed, seeing God, that's like lightning, a flash of light, you know, in the lightning. But then you have to go kind of find that in the regular world, right? And if you read his literature, anything he wrote after, you know, throughout his life, it was life. And so I feel like for all of us, I could literally speak to myself and a lot of the people that I know from program, that it's the educational variety, because we have to live through life. But the beauty, what I want to offer the person who's struggling, coming back, brand new, is you don't have to believe in anything specific. It will grow into whatever concept works for you. Our concept doesn't define what that creator is. Our concept just helps us to get some kind of glimpse of what it might be. And the second thing is that there really, really, really is a solution here. And that's what the book is telling. There really is. And I live in a state of neutrality with food and food behaviors, and I'm so grateful for that. And if anything starts to, like, creep up, I have my evening review that I do every night that I share with my sponsor and a bunch of women that are in my little posse, you know, my little tribe, my village. And I can always pick up the phone. And like the book says, we recoil as from a hot flame. And I will also share that it's like, I don't keep, oh, thank you. I don't keep myself abstinent. Yeah. It's a gift. And that gift is for all of us. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Haya, for closing us out, and for everyone for their great shares and a great meeting and a great paragraph. Come back tomorrow for another great paragraph and great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Adrian M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, it's Adrian M. Was from Dallas, now in Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.